Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Shark Cast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics and coming to you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. I am Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer, songwriter, and all-around good bloke, Sam Shinazzy.
I am a Sydney singer, songwriter. I don't know if I'm a good bloke, but I try my best. I'm a Sharks fan. I'm happy this week. Everyone get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're in the upper ET. We're in the ultimate upgrade. We are everywhere, baby.
And the official records will read that the Sharks roll the Melbourne Storm in a penalty fest, 14 points to 4 in front of 13,000 rampaging Sharks fans on Friday night. It was a great game, and it rockets us into ninth position on the NRL ladder, but we are going the right way. All the talk was about the penalties. I didn't have a problem with it, Sam. I've been waiting for someone to penalise the Storm for breaking the rules.
Yeah, I don't want this podcast to be about penalties. That's all we're hearing, penalty, penalty, penalty. It definitely happened. We were all there to watch it. Most of it was justified for both teams, to be fair. We were the better team. We defended like mofos. We defended so well. A lot of heart, a lot of soul, improved performances all around from some surprise packages. Even a guy like Ed Wrigley, who scored the match-winning try.
Electric Eddie.
You know, he had a few errors in his game like he does, but boy, oh boy, he stood up for us. An all-round great team performance.
And it very much felt like the Sharks of old were back. It felt like we might have been drifting there. We might have lost something there for a while. But a game against the Storm, I think there's a genuine hatred there, Samuel. I feel like there's some of these convected rivalries in the NRL where they try and talk up hatred at, you know, State of Origin and stuff like that. But these two teams genuinely do not like each other. It showed in the push and shove after the whistle. It showed that Cameron Smith lost his cool, and we'll talk about the sin binning in a minute. But the two teams genuinely dislike each other, and I think that win, more than the Parramatta win, is going to get our season on track.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely 2015 to 16 Sharks without the flair. It was all about the muscle and the hustle. It's a long season, and we don't want to see them necessarily have to do that every week, but it's nice to know that they can turn it on when needed.
Oh, they won't do that every week.
No.
We've got more arrows in the quiver than just that. But
yeah,
that game was never going to be high scoring.
No.
It was always going to be knocked down, drag them out. It was always going to be something like 14-12 or 14-10. And the fact Melbourne didn't score a try says so much. But
the last time they didn't score a try, Newman, was against the Cronulla Sharks.
Yep, this time last year, wasn't it?
About round six, yeah.
Yep.
So the Sharkies definitely got something against them. I think, you know, round two, so to speak, this year is going to be pretty special down in Melbourne. Just the feeling alone, the press are going to stir it up, and they'll be out for revenge.
And we are able, seemingly, to bully the bullies. That's one thing that Melbourne don't like. Like, I reckon every team has the same blueprint. We'll get in there, we'll rattle them, we'll get on a Cameron Smith and get under his skin, and we'll try and play really physical and throw them off the game. There you go. It doesn't work. But against us, the Sharks, it works. And you saw Will Chambers grab, massively lose his cool and start trying to rip players' heads off. Nelson, who off Alphabet, who's seemingly a gentle giant, he lost his shit. And, of course, Cameron Smith. Let's talk about the sin bin. I thought it was the best moment watching rugby league outside the premiership to see that rugby league fans were united.
I think the new minute helped that it was Shark Park Friday night. You know, it looked like a full house. The vibe was up. The crowd was amped. It was a close game. And I think that that all spiraled into this great moment. It wasn't just the fact that he got sin bin. That was magnificent. Everything was aligned, and he was off.
Now, you were there. I wasn't there. Tell me about the reaction live.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I was out in the open air with the working class, shall we say. Well, to an extent. And
you're sitting in the Oldman upgrade box.
Yeah, but I'm usually in the upper ET, so.
God's sake.
I was down the ivory tower. I was out amongst the people, and a reaction like I've probably never seen before there. I mean, I've seen a lot of good times, a lot of bad times. I turned around and the Pete Burns stand is essentially over my shoulder. Every person was up on their feet in my direct vision, just going bonkers. Then I looked at the vision and people lining up against the tunnel, like grown men, little children, just giving it to him.
Oh, what a moment. Now, this is going to show how pathetic I am. Yeah. I have actually fantasized about that moment. Yeah, like sitting at home, you know, watching the footy, watching the, you know, having a couple of Shark Island brews, and I'm watching the Melbourne Storm play, and I'm just getting frustrated. I'm like, I like to think I got a pretty good read on the game, and you can see what they're doing. They get up too quick. You know, they're always offside. They push the envelope, and the fact they've got those big-name players allows them to get away with more, and it's so frustrating. And I've often sat there and gone, you know what, if I was a referee, I'd love to go out there and just penalise them for every infringement, and then when Smith tries to back chat, I'd give him 10 in the bin. And I never thought it had actually happened. And it did. It was fantastic.
He was the wrong man at the wrong time is what he was, because he had nothing to do with the penalties, really. He was just the captain.
Yeah, but he chirps.
He does.
All the time.
And he was the third one to be marched for 10 metres.
Yep.
And at that point, someone had to go, and it was him. And the referee showed no hesitation, to be fair, as well.
It was great. I thought Chechen did a good job.
Yeah.
And there was a moment later in the game where he'd been off in the sim, and then he'd come back and he'd obviously calmed down, and it was penalty number like 600. Mm. And he went up to the ref and said, look, what's the problem? And the ref's like, you know, number four and number five were offside. And he said, well, they're out on the edge. What difference does it make? Mm. And Chechen said, that means that the Sharks can't shift the ball, so they have to come back inside. So it impacts their ability to attack. And he looked like he'd been hit with a fish. He had no comeback.
Yeah, and to be fair to both teams, Paul Gallen in the press conference said, and I'm almost quoting,
they
pinged us for everything. You know, one guy was half a metre offside. And it's like, well, Gal, that's exactly what they're talking about.
Yep.
And he knows that. And both coaches, you know, great respect to them. They didn't hammer the refs at all.
Well, I can tell you this. I've spoken to some people that I have a few contacts. The coaches were all pulled into a meeting. Mm. Right at the start of the year, and the meeting was hosted by who's the referee's boss this year?
It might be one of the Suttons. Oh, yeah, McGuire. Yeah, yeah.
He hosted it, and he said, "Look, this is what we're doing. We are going to ping you for offside. We're going to ping you for foot on the ball. It's up to you to clean it up. And we're serious this time. It's not going to go away." So the coaches have been given fair warning,
and we're both cool with it, right?
I'm 100% cool. In my view, it's short-term pain for long-term gain. Mm. We have all been sitting here as fans of the game, tearing our hair out. I remember the 2016 grand final when Melbourne were offside the entire game.
Yeah.
And it's surprising me that it's who blinks first now, and I don't think the refs are going to blink at this point. They put a pretty big line in the sand. We speculated on it, right?
Yeah.
Two grubbiest teams, Sharks and Storm, they're putting a flag in the sand.
Yeah.
So the players have to learn, get back onside.
Now, we don't talk about State of Origin on this podcast, but I'm going to mention it just now. Say that the average penalties are still pretty high leading into whatever round that comes in. Is Origin going to be a different species?
Now you're asking a difficult question.
Is it going to be like the old 4-2 penalty count? Because that really irritates me.
Probably.
Or are they going to hammer it?
Probably.
Well, that's... How can they be serious then?
You would hope that the petty penalties... The thing is, right, there's so many penalties because most of the stuff can easily be drawn out of the game.
So they're trying to maybe do it now and then they get to their pinnacle of the game.
Yep.
Everything's sweet.
Let's stop talking about Origin, except maybe
in the news. Newman, I've got to say with the penalties, we were losing the count 11-4 at one point.
We were getting smoked.
And it swung around, which makes me question... How does a team go from being so bad to them being good and the other team vice versa?
Rugby league is a game where if you build momentum, it's like the rich getting richer.
Yep.
If you've got the ball, you get a penalty, you keep the ball. So there's naturally going to be these momentum shifts where a team gets a block of penalties in a row because as a result of the penalties, they're getting the ball. And when you don't have the ball, you're not getting any penalties. Because you're tackling all the time.
Last week, we gave away, I think, around 8 penalties against Parramatta.
Yep.
How come this week we're 6 penalties worse?
Because it was an emotion-filled game.
Mm.
The Storm are deliberately grubby, and we got lost in that. I mean, there was some... You know, we gave away some stupid penalties.
Yeah.
Where you're thinking, why?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Your boyfriend was also sin bin for the first time in his career. Now, I'm not one of those people that talks about players being grubby and this and that. And I'm not saying the people who do are wrong. It's just not my style. I saw firsthand, and I'm not even talking about this moment, the grubbiness of one William Slater. The last 3 minutes of the game, go watch it on your recordings.
Yeah, you
he's like third or fourth man in each tackle. He knows the game's over. His elbows, his knees, he's doing everything. And he's the one that started the fight with Wade Graham, which the last tackle ended in all in brawl. I just thought, you know, you're this Channel 9 role model, great guy, best fullback ever. You're an absolute dirtbag.
And that sin bin, okay, we say we applaud the refs for doing a good job. That sin bin, I mean, mate.
I mean, it looked like it to the naked eye, and then you see the replay, and it's like not even close.
As I said, I only watched the game on replay because I was sitting in the... how's this for an experience, right? I was sitting in the Qantas lounge. I was in Singapore last week, people. And coming back, my flight was at 10 o'clock Australian time.
10 p.m.
So I'm sitting in the Qantas lounge with a nice bowl of peanuts and a drink, and I'm listening to the coverage on radio, right? And I'm just sitting there in the Qantas lounge, and then the game's getting close, and it's going, go to your gate, go to your gate.
Oh, I hate that.
And I just had to sit there and, like, then run to the gate, which was, like, an 11-minute... They got a sign up says it's an 11-minute walk.
Were you singing up, up?
I was pumped.
Let's talk about some performances, Newman, because I'm presuming you've watched the game back a few times.
I have, yeah. Yep. First thing I did, mate.
Let's start with the fullback, Valentine Holmes.
Much better.
Improved performance. He ran for 120 metres. I had him for two try saves. One bad error where he ran out in the first. You know, he can't be doing that. But I was really happy. I'm his biggest fan. It wasn't his best game ever, but it was a return to form, and he was steady.
Yep, he was absolutely steady. And I want to say something. Are you going to... You're going to give me some levity here, Sam?
Sure.
A lot of this Valentine Holmes hate comes from a guy on the League Unlimited forum called Frenzy. Right? And he's on there, like, winding it up, saying Val's a coward and he's a cat.
An NRL player is a coward.
That's exactly right. Now, this is a bloke who doesn't put his own name to his posts, who isn't a member of the club.
Do I know this person?
You probably never met him because he doesn't come down here.
Okay.
He refuses to come to games. Mm. He's not a member of the club. Mm. He sits in his house and waits for a Sharks player, a far better man than him, to make mistakes so that he can big note himself on the internet. He is the categoric definition of a coward.
Is it only Val or anyone that makes the
errors? No, he's after Val at the moment.
Okay. I wonder why that is.
Because he, in his pathetic little life, getting notoriety, like me saying this, probably feeding the fire.
Mm.
In his pathetic little life, getting notoriety for calling far better men than him a coward gives him a kick.
Has he seen the way that he runs the ball back?
Oh, he says that that's the easiest thing to do. He's quite
the easiest,
that,
thing, to
easiest
do.
Thing to do.
Newman, you've played the game at a far higher level than I have. Is that not the hardest thing to do?
It is the hardest thing to do. And I know my mate Dave Howlett, coach of under-20s, said that Valentine Holmes... is the hardest ball runner he has ever coached. And he has been a coach of junior reps since 1999.
Jesse Ramian. Set up the try beautifully.
I've got a crush on Jesse Ramian.
I know
Ramian.
You do. He got just past his man around him, then did the flick to Big Eddie, Electric Eddie.
Unreal.
Jesse Ramian deserves a place in this team. I'm not sure how long he'll hold it, depending on positional changes, which we might get into later. Edric Lee. Now, we saw his name on the team sheet. We all sighed because of past performances.
He's good.
He came in. He was great. He should have scored another try where he towered over his winger and he dropped
the ball
right
after. That's what he's there for, those AFL tries.
His runs out from his own end were really strong. They were as good as Fecky and anyone else. So, based on that one performance, I was really happy with him and I was happy for him.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Semi-final time rolls around. Are you happy with him in the team then?
If he's the next best option, I think he's better than Gray, for example. So, yes, if he's there, then I will do my best to support him.
We need to see a few more games like that, though.
Of course.
We?
I'm not. All I'm saying is he did really well. Our halves were fantastic. Hodkinson and Townsend.
I want to know how you leave Hodkinson out.
I don't know if you can, my friend. He's so steady, so calm. He defends really well, which is you know, not every half. I mean, I was watching games today. Mitchell Moses wasn't even trying a tackle.
Yeah.
Chad Townsend is getting better each and every week. I think he's really taken that leadership role. His kicking was great. One kick went out. The wind was really strong.
Yep.
He kicked one out in the full. He learnt from that.
Is he rounding on a record of number of consecutive kicks?
I knew you would ask me this, Newman. As far as I can see. So he's got 17 in a row for the Sharks.
Yep.
He's not close to an NRL record.
How many is the NRL record?
Don't ask me that right now. But for the Sharks, James Maloney went close last year. He had, I think, maybe 25 or so in a row.
Wow.
And he's still on a roll this year, but he's backup kicker.
Yeah.
Our friend, Leapin' Luke Cavell, between 2000, round 12 and round 21 in 2006, 28 straight conversions.
28 straight. Wow.
So,
okay. Well, I'm going to tell you that
11 more to go.
With the penalty blitz, he's well placed because we're getting like a lot of these kicks compared to normal because there's so many penalties, like, and they're in front. So he's well placed. But I thought he'd be closer than that. Leaping Luke Cavell, what a champion.
But it's a great achievement from Val. Val's on my mind 24 hours a day. Young Chad, we all had anxiety about who was going to be kicking for us, but he's doing a great job. Fifita, strong, 136 metres, the most for the game. Brayley was strong again. Matty Pryor was outstanding, played 68 minutes.
Yeah, well.
Great return from Luke Lewis. Wade Graham is a lot more active now we've asked him to be.
That was a much improved performance from Wade Graham. He lives for the occasion, and I reckon this game this weekend, he's circled it and gone, Cooper Cronk, hello. I expect a blinder from Wade.
Paul Gallen, he was great. He played almost an hour. Now, the bench was Capewell, Seguiaro, Big Arva, and Joseph Paulo in his 150th game. Shout out to Seguiaro. He was strong. He had his best game for us maybe ever. I'm not saying I want to keep him there, but I cannot fault him on that performance. Big Arva was great. Paulo was great. Capewell's still pretty quiet for me.
He's not getting much of a go, though.
He's not. It's not a criticism to him. It's just, But overall, Newman, what a fantastic team performance.
All right, we're going to get, hopefully, Moise Dugan back, so that's going to put pressure on that bench now. But we've got to get, like, you've got to remember, no Moise, no Dugan, no Bakuya.
Yeah.
Dugan and Bakuya have been our best players up until this point.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so that wraps us up for the game review. What a moment. Again, Matt Chechen, thank you so much for providing that joy. We're going to cut to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we are going to have the news. This is SharkCast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467 233 153. That's 0467 233 153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays. And, of course, the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday Fishing. It's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention SharkCast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, home of SharkCast Radio.
They move it down the field through Kingston, who runs inside the 30. Here's Peachy giving it to Kamali. A flat pass on his outside. Clifford Manua, a ball back in the inside for Paul Mellor. Manly haven't touched the ball in what seems like a quarter of an hour.
And now it's coming to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news. Now, Samuel, you got some lower grades results over there, mate.
I know that the Newtown Jets had a great victory on the weekend. Kyle Flanagan,
yep,
second game back from injury, absolutely killing it. Scotty Sorensen was man of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of Sharks players did well. Ueli was out there playing strong. They look like a different team this year, Newtown.
Yep.
A lot more committed, a lot more focused, a lot more just week in, week out. They're playing a lot better so far. So hopefully they can maintain that.
Well, the Newtown Jets, also in interesting news, this weekend, 3 o'clock on Saturday, they'll be playing the Illawarra Dragons, St. George Illawarra Dragons or St. George Dragons, whatever it is in the New South Wales Intrust Super Premiership. I'll be calling that game for Steel Sports. So log on to steelsports.com and you'll be able to hear me call it. I was hoping to get you in, Samuel, but you're at work, aren't you?
I think so. I'll have to confirm that with you, but at this stage, I think I am.
Yeah, okay. But tune in.
SG Ball had a 1 point win.
Harold Matthews had a 20 all draw, and Jersey Flegg also won.
Now, I covered a bit last week, Newman, but you haven't had your say, so let's try and do this on the ladies.
Well, the other result was the Sharks girls, ladies, Tasha Gale Cup won against Wentworthville 108-0. And this leads into the point that the big news this week was the NRL are putting together a women's competition. They asked for bids. They received 6 bids. 2 teams missed out, and they were South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Sharks. Now, it's been covered over. People are outraged about it. We are equally outraged because not only is it a disgrace, and it's a massive injustice for people like the committee of Cronulla Caringbah and the guys that put the Sharks women's draw together. And Lyle Gorman had his footprint all over this. The Sharks have been committed to the women's game in doing that, in signing the first women's player to a full-time contract, in having the first full-time women's team, in having pathways through Cronulla Caringbah. They've done all the work at the grassroots, and to be left out, seemingly because they don't like our geographical spread, is an absolute joke. 4-team comp is tokenism to the women involved. They deserve better than that. The Sharks deserve better than that. And it just absolutely stinks.
Yeah, the Rabbitohs too have done a lot for the women's game. They deserve better. It has been covered far and wide. I'm glad you had your say. I'm equally disgusted. And it shows how out of touch they are.
Well, that's the point. I mean, I feel continually let down by the NRL. Like, people, as you go through life, you don't feel so partisan. And when something opens itself up to controversy, you start to think, well, maybe, you know, it deserves controversy. But the NRL, like stuff like Matt Lodge, you know, and this, you just scratch your head and go, okay, is the comp run to benefit Brisbane and the Roosters?
The thing, like, we're not going to get into it now or ever again, but the thing with Matt Lodge is if they'd waited 5 years and the guy had been a clean skin for 5 years and then done all this stuff, you might go, you might begrudgingly go, okay, let's see how it goes. It's like fresh, basically.
Do you think Todd Greenberg slept the night when he found out that there was a story coming out in the paper which said that Matt Lodge's victim is going to say that he hadn't indeed apologised?
Well, especially because he claimed to have known it, you know, for a year. He knows everything about the whole, you know, which makes it worse that he hid it.
There's no way he knew that. If he'd have known that there was going to be public, that it was going to go public, that his wife, the victim, hadn't received the written apology and was going to say that there's no way they would have registered him. Like, Wayne Bennett, they must have went white when they heard that. And then to hear his ex-girlfriend come out and say, yeah, he batted me.
It's the worst look ever, and it's inexcusable. Back to this subject, which is somewhat relatable. I mean, as a club, we're saddened and shocked and disgusted. As a supporter of the game, Newman, I see all these fantastic stories in the Herald and the Telly and the Australian online, people tweeting this, tweeting that. What a great day. And I'm not denying it's a great day for the game and for the women's game, but how am I, as a Sharks season ticket holder, financial contributor, podcast guy, how am I supposed to get behind the comp?
Well, you're not, because all of those players, like Ruwan Sims...
She's going to play for the Dirty Drags.
She's going to go play for the Dragons or the Roosters. And a lot of the other girls, like Alana, to be fair, I don't know a great deal of the girls' names, but...
Alana Ferguson.
Alana Ferguson, had she not been injured, she would have had to go and play for the Dragons. And you're just like, there's no way I'm going to get behind this comp.
Yeah.
And the reason, the geographical spread. And what about, you enjoyed this, Greenberg, I'm like J.J. Giltner.
Well, for a lot of people that don't know who he is, you can do a little search on that. A lot of people who do know who he is. That was actually the little cherry on top for me when he said that. I thought, you've completely lost your mind. And to be fair, he didn't actually explain what he meant. Then they released a statement today saying what he meant. He had to, cut the corners back in 1908. You can be there, but you can't be there. It stinks. It absolutely stinks. And they also had a reason saying that if they had six teams originally planned, the players wouldn't be, the teams wouldn't be strong enough. There wouldn't be enough players. But that's rubbish.
That's rubbish. And the fact I've played in, like, coaching junior footy, you get wound up in four-team comps.
Oh, man.
And it's like everyone's going to make the semi.
Is it a five-week comp? Is that what it is?
But I think they just play each other once. So from the start that you're going to make the semis. And it's just tokenism. I mean, I feel bad for the girls. I really do. And I'm a daughter. Like, I'm a father of a daughter. I want my girl to be able to play for the Sharks.
Yeah.
If she T-Bone can thankfully master those heights.
Thankfully, Baz Russell and the crew have said they're going to continue supporting the game. And I guess they're going to eventually try and pitch their way into the comp.
Yeah, and I like Barry Russell's statement. He was on the front foot straight away. He's saying, give me a please explain. But NRL headquarters, they make it very hard.
It's baffling, Newman.
All right, news. We've got trucker hats, Samuel. We've got to put a photo of one of these online.
I'm looking at one right now. It is beautiful. You and everyone involved have done an amazing job. Our friend at Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics are the ones who paid for it, yes. And they are the best trucker hat I've ever seen, honestly.
The colour is immaculate.
Yeah, they're light blue. They've got the old 80s logo on it, Sharkcast TV and radio. They've got a couple of Dyson logos on the side. $30 plus shipping.
Okay.
Send us an email, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and one can be delivered to your house. I'm not working at the moment, so I'll just do that.
Yeah, it sounds good. Everyone involved in a great job, and... we're keen to get them out to you. Anything else happening, Newman?
That's it, man. We're going to cut to a break, and we come back on the other side. We'll preview the big game against the Roosters. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers, as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294321. That's 0424 294321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. Tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
This stage, that's the second time they've had the football, Brisbane. Their second mistake. I'm just handing over possession to Cronulla in good field position now. Right on the halfway line.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Welcome back to the show. We have a bloody big game this weekend, Sam. It's been a flaming hard draw.
What do we have? We had Cowboys away, Dragons at home, Power away, Melbourne at home, Now we've got the Roosters, then I think the Dragons next week. A lot of short turnarounds and that kind of thing. I'm not a fan of
short turnarounds. We've got the Dragons again the week after next.
Might be week six, yeah. It's close.
Wollongong.
Yeah.
Man, that's the worst time to be playing those guys.
High-flying Dragons.
Oh, mate, doesn't it make you sick? So, the we are coming off a 14-4 win, and the Roosters were lapped by the surprisingly good New Zealand Warriors.
Real deal.
So what do we make of that?
Look, they've got a bit of the 2017 Sharks about them. They're the bottom of the ladder for completing sets and making the most errors and that kind of thing at this point in the season, which is early days. I think their combinations of Kronk and Tedesco and Keary and Friend are still clicking, so we're probably getting them at not a bad time, although you never like playing a team coming off a bad loss.
No.
But we're coming off a good win. We'll see about selections and that kind of thing, what happens during the week. It's a 6 o'clock Friday game, Newman. Nice and early in the week.
Right. 6 o'clock. It's fine by me because, as I said, I'm not working, but makes it very hard for people that work every day.
Yeah, the Chooks don't have a lot of fans that will travel, so I think it could be a smaller crowd. They might want to get their promotions happening this week, the Sharkies, in the NRL. Yep. Now, we've got a good record, Newman. Seven. What have I got here? The past six of the last seven.
They've been our bunnies. Come on, say it.
We've beaten them. We lost in round 25 last year at Shark Park, a penalty given away close to the try line. They won 16-14. Aside from that, we've had them for the last six times.
We also pumped them last year.
Yeah, 44-12, something like that, up on the Central Coast.
Yep.
We thought that that was going to be our big surge for the finals, and it wasn't. But one of the best performances we've had in a long time, that game.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And I mean, yeah, that was the start of the Luke Lewis intercept streak.
But what was at the end of it? Maybe the one before, the week before.
I don't know. But anyway, it was magnificent to see him striding away like that.
He's back to do it again.
It's hard to see how this game's going to go. Is Dugan going to be back? Is Moisar going to be back? I mean, we haven't seen it very much out of Moylan at all yet.
I'm pretty worried about longevity of the two lads.
Yeah. And I mean, you saw the difference Maloney made to the Penrith when he was on his game.
He was 2016 prelim form is what that was. That was
fantastic. Yeah. You know, he loves playing the Cowboys, I think.
And good luck to him.
So are those two going to be back?
I love the tweets from everyone. What? How about that Maloney? Sharks happy you let him go? Come on, guys.
He didn't want to play for us. It doesn't matter. You know,
why are people worried about other teams and other players? I don't get that. Mm. That's just me, though. I'm not dissing anyone else.
Well, we know that the Roosters, they've got threats all across the park.
Yeah.
Benny Ross made a good point. He said that their back line is absolutely, you know, Latrell Mitchell's been gangbusters.
This will shock you. Fergie is leading the most meters and runs and that kind of stuff.
Of course, they've got Tedesco, who's a threat. Their halves look really good. They have had some good games, but Ben Ross, ex part of Sharkcast TV, he said he thought that the Roosters forwards were weak and that we would play all over them and win the yardage game.
Yeah, I just hope that doesn't end up in the back of the Telegraph like previous Sharkcast quotes. But look, I think that last year, particularly in the playoffs, as I like to call them, their forwards let them down.
Yep.
I think guys like Hargraves
and Napa,
like, they're solid. But they've never gone to that next level on a consistent basis. I mean, they have it in them to turn around and have a great week. I'm getting me wrong. They're solid, as I said. They're not cowards, that's for sure. But I think given what we saw last week by the Sharks, it's again the way to go, particularly if the team's similar. Say Moylan and Dugan don't come back. If our attacking options are a bit less, you want to get into that arm wrestle with them and just grind it out.
They're not a grind it out type of team, though.
No, they're pretty flashy.
Are we going to play a grind it out style, or are we going to try and give the ball some air? I mean, if you remember when we beat them last year, we played pretty expansive. Wade Graham was great out on the edge.
Yep.
I know for a fact that Wade Graham loves playing Cooper Cronk.
Yep.
And he's going to go out and try and ring his bell, so to speak. So for me, I don't have a read on where we seem to be working our way into this season. There's going to be a game where our attack clicks.
Mm.
Is it going to be this week? I don't know.
From what I've seen, Newman, I'm going to suggest maybe it's not, but I agree. It definitely will. Mm. It definitely will.
We've got to score more tries. You agree with that?
Yeah, we haven't gone over 16 points this year, so you know, from round four, you can't be doing that grind thing every week and then expecting to win every game and get to the finals, win the comp. It's just, it's too much. Yep. It's too much. So the points will come. The points will come. The handling was better. The handling's been better in the last 2 weeks. Obviously, the penalties last week was weird.
It's on a slow march, the discipline, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think,
it is.
You know, we're putting together a great half here and a great half there, and then we're having some areas that let us down. I think they're going to try and eke that out. But remember when I said to you there'll be a difference in the way the players react to errors? Was I right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen one player laugh.
There you go.
And I like it. And there has been less errors, and the penalties, more or less, aside from last week, have been improving. So if they play disciplined football, as I said, the Roosters aren't going well with disciplinary errors. So if they even continue half of that and we're on our game, we should be fine.
We're up for a contest with anyone, I think. I think we're going to be that kind of team this year that just sticks in and hangs in with every team that we play against.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would have sat up and taken notice about the game that we played against the Storm. My worry is that that was a torrid match.
It was.
And they'll be, you know, well, the Roosters have, they're on the back of getting flogged. So it's hard to say what's going to happen. I'm sorry, I'm fliffing and flaffing, flim flam here.
Oh, look, they could actually do a number on us.
Yep.
But our defence has been our strength this year. So me saying that is saying that they have the weapons, but I'm also saying that we have the talent to stop that. I think our kick defence has been a bit improved this year, Newman, based on the last, on the past 2 years. And they're going to need it this week because Cooper Cronk's very kick happy.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at it.
Yeah. One thing about the Storm, weren't they kick happy? They were kicking all the time.
They were, but they weren't overly effective. And in the wind, Newman, it was pretty windy. I thought, oh, gee, Val's in for a tough one here. But they didn't really test him that much in the air. So I think that the Roosters definitely will. It's always been their strength. I also would want the boys to do some video on Keary running down the left. He goes himself. It's easy to fall for. So,
all right.
Should be a good one.
So what are we predicting?
I'm going to say the Sharks are going to score 20 or 22 points. Well, that means Chad might not have a great record. And the Roosters score 14. I think we'll win by 6 to 8 points.
I think we'll win 14-4. That's three in a row for the score, 14-4. And I also reckon the first scoring play, penalty goal, is Money in the Bank.
Well, that'll be the fifth week in a row, my friend.
There you go. All right, Samuel, it's been wonderful to catch up with you again. You're going to pull the old raggedy old 7-inch out of the sleeve.
2 weeks in a row.
We don't have to play the sentence. We're going to play the song. I'll see you down here on Friday.
Can't wait.
We'll have a couple of tins beforehand, preloading.
Can't wait.
And we'll rip in.
All right, let's do it.
All right, mate. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Sharks!